I've been at the Camp Ochetti Sakawan, which means seven council fires camp. That's the seven council fires of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota people. And the camp was established to provide an encampment for water protectors, the Lakota people, and their allies who are seeking to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline and protect the sovereign and treaty rights and the right to assemble, the right to peaceably assemble to demonstrate against the pipeline, which would harm the environmental and the water future of the Dakota people. And I went to stand in unity with them, as have thousands of people from across the country. I went because we are facing similar situations in the Adirondacks threatening our water from dirty bacon crude oil moving across old railroad tracks by the Hudson River, by Lake Champlain, incredible, pristine, or nearly so water sources that are important to millions of people, including the local ecology, communities, and the environment. And we face the same threat, in a sense, of our environment being destroyed, essentially, by an oil spill. But ours are, our environment is threatened by moving oil over the rails. And I also went because I have spent a lot of time in my life working with Native Americans, and I just could not stand by while they were being abused and disenfranchised of their right to peaceably assemble. And I wanted to stand with them in unity and condemn the actions of the county sheriff and other police officials who were over-militarized and harming innocent water protectors who were simply making a stand against the pipeline.
Dan, along those lines, I mean, you have worked with indigenous peoples around the world for a long time. How crucial is the stand that the Lakota Sioux and their supporters have taken?
Well, that's a very important question. It'll be discussed by many over the next several days, weeks, and months. My personal opinion is that the stand of the Lakota people at Standing Rock and across the seven tribes of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota people, all related, is truly historic and is a tipping point. They've created a tremendous, really international momentum. Part of the camp is called the Avenue of Flags, which has flags from well over 600 indigenous tribes and peoples from around the world standing up in unity with the Lakota people in this battle, standing up for the sovereignty rights, standing up for protecting water, which they consider to be sacred, which in fact is sacred to all of us in the sense that it is the element that gives us life. So they have achieved a major victory in the decision of the Army Corps of Engineers not to provide the Dakota Access Pipeline its easement to go under Lake Oahe and under the Missouri River. The fight has really just begun, but what they have achieved in 6 months is truly monumental.
Dan, a lot of people have noted that the fight has just begun. We don't know what will happen when the Trump administration gets in about a month. What are the sentiments regarding the future, you know, as we're a couple days out from the Army Corps of Engineers announcement?
Well, yesterday I attended, as I have every day since I got to the camp, a meeting of the camp leaders. And yesterday I attended the first meeting by the camp leaders to respond to the announcement. Their intention is very clear. They're, of course, very enthusiastic of the decision by the Army Corps. That is to be cheered. That's been a long effort to get to that point. Many people were injured, sadly, to get to that point, needlessly so. But thousands of people from around the world have joined them in unity to get to that point. Their decision, the decision of the Ocheti Sacajawea encampment, is to stay on, to stay and sustain the effort. And they are really to be honored for their decision. They have decided to stay on and to continue to express their concerns about the entire Dakota Access Pipeline, the entire 1,200 miles of that pipeline. They hope to carry forward and kill the project, kill the black snake, as they call it, because they don't feel it should be impacting or threatening the water and the health and the ecological integrity of any community, not just the Dakota community, but any community. And so they are demonstrating a tremendous true vision of the need to stop exploiting these dirty, dangerous, highly volatile oil resources that are truly threatening all along their course whenever they're exploited, and of course as well hold us back from making the change in society to a more sustainable energy future in the face of climate change. I am very impressed that in this environmental movement, led by the Lakota and their youth, this is very important, they have really stuck to their cultural ideals, their cultural values, and their fight is not a fight of recent times, but a fight of the last 500 years from the beginning of exploitation by European colonialists. And so their whole approach, their entire approach, is very peaceful. It's very prayerful. Those two things are extremely important as they go about the business of demonstrating. But they carry forward ancient legacies and the true, ethnic and epos and the story of the Dakota people. They see this as integral to their culture, that they have to take this stand now, and they feel it's been coming for centuries.
Dan, you've been at the camp, and when people see it on TV, they're usually seeing it over the shoulder of a reporter as a tent camp in the snow. Can you kind of give us a visual walkthrough of what it's like at the camp?
Well, it's amazing. It was truly stunning for me to drive over the highway beyond Cannonball, North Dakota, where the reservation is situated, and to drive over the hill and kind of Mesa country and come around the corner and see the camp within a stone's throw of the Cannonball River. It covers probably 800 to 1,000 acres now. It is a mass of color, of teepees, traditional and modern, some white, some painted. There are Mongolian yurts. There are U.S. Army MASH tents. It's chock-a-block in design, but actually laid out in a tremendously fascinating fashion, as if they are facing a war. They're in a war setting and approaching it from a peaceable and prayerful context. But they have medic tents, they have mess tents and meal facilities dotted throughout the territory. There is the amazing Avenue of Flags, where they placed these 600 plus flags from many, many nations of indigenous people across the United States and globally that have sent their wishes of unity in this fight. So you drive down the avenue of the flags and recognize how truly powerful this demonstration of unity is for their fight. So it's quite an amazing scene. Of course, there are thousands of people now. Many thousands have come just within the last week, and just recently, within the last 3 days, over 2,000 U.S. veterans from across the country, many of them Native American, but more of them just regular veterans from across the country to stand in support of the Dakota's right to peaceably assemble against the pipeline. It's truly an amazing sight.
Dan, if given the opportunity, will you go back?
Oh, absolutely. One of the most amazing 5 days of my life to be there in support, to be trained with Lakota principles in nonviolent direct action principles based on how they see the world and see their means of interacting with other cultures, which is extremely friendly, which is extremely welcoming, and extremely high valued. And they feel that they have been treated with such disrespect, but they will never fall to that level. They take the high road. And they have even helped the police because they were cold, because they were suffering from the brutal North Dakota weather. And they went and helped Moulton County Police, bringing them blankets and warm clothing, even though they were being abused by these individuals. It's been a true testimony to their humanity, their integrity, and their incredible leadership at this time. So I will go back when I can, if I can find that I can be of value and service and continue to stand in unity on behalf of the Adirondacks with the Lakota people.